بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of Islamic principles which are relevant and valid and work and help us to become successful even today in the 21st century. Principles which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put forward in the 7th century. So 14 centuries later, they are still valid and still relevant, and they are still capable of giving us success. And today I want to talk to you, and we'll do that in sections. But I want to begin that topic, which is the issue of two things combined. One is the issue of money, currency, and the second one is the issue of interest. Now, we understand interest from the perspective of halal haram, and really in Islam there is nothing which is more haram than interest. I mean, this is the ultimate, because that's the only thing on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who on his behalf and on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who takes interest, on the one who pays interest, on the one who makes that document, the agreement between the two, and the one who is a witness to that agreement. Now imagine somebody who's taking interest, okay, he's benefiting from that. Somebody who's giving interest or giving out money in interest, he's benefiting from that. But the borrower and the lender, but the person who's writing the voucher or the person who's just a witness, I mean, they don't even benefit from that. Still, because they are participating and they are supporting a transaction which is so harmful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put all of them together. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of them are equally culpable. So this we understand and we try to keep out of it, of course. But look at the reason why it is banned and why it is so harmful. There are two ways of financing. One, and I'm going to use a modern terminology, finance terminology for it. Two ways of financing. One is lending, which is what we call the debt equity ratio. And the other one is venture capital or venture capital financing or venture capital funding. Now the two are very different. In terms of debt, there is a lender and there is a borrower. And there is an agreement that the borrower will pay the lender a certain percentage of interest for the use of the money. Right? You know, in this country, for example, the way it ends up, for example, if you buy a house and say you borrow $100,000, by the time you finish paying for that house, you've actually paid maybe $300,000, $400,000, $450,000 for the house, which actually cost only $100,000. And the big chunk of that money is only the interest payment. So for years, you are paying interest and paying interest and paying interest, and your capital amount which you borrowed, which is 100,000, is still there. That is not reduced. So this is the issue of debt. So in debt, the person who's borrowing gets to use the money, fair enough, but the one who is lending the money, he has to be paid no matter what happens to the one who borrows the money. So the lender has no share in the loss, if there is a loss. The lender has no share in the risk that the borrower is taking with that money. The lender's return is assured, no matter what, right? Venture capital is a very different game. Venture capital is where there is still somebody is supplying the fund. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to do business and if you don't have the money to finance it yourself, the money has to come from somewhere. So that is not a problem. Islam doesn't prohibit you from borrowing. Islam prohibits you only from borrowing on interest. So the money has to come from somewhere. So money comes from the venture capitalist. But the difference is that the venture capitalist is a shareholder in your business. Right? So he's actually buying equity in the business. So when he's buying equity in the business, now what happens? Automatically he becomes a shareholder in whatever is happening in the business. So if the business is doing well, alhamdulillah, if the business is going down, then the venture capitalist also is liable to suffer a loss. Right? Now you might say, well, so what's so great about that? Why should you do that? Two big reasons. One is that when the venture capitalist himself or his funds are threatened or are in danger, then the chance is that he will try to help the other guy to do well, to help him in ways in which the money is not lost, and so on and so forth. So there is a bond that is created between the two, which does not happen between the person who's the banker, for example, who's just giving debt. That's one thing. Second thing is, and this is my interpretation of this, which is that Islam is a religion which is based on reality. Right? The fundamental foundational principle of Islam is that it is based on reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, when we say La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is not a concept. Allah is not imaginary. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. Huwa al-hayyul qayyum. He is alive. He is established. Huwa sami' wa basir. He hears, he sees. Allah is real. And Islam, when a person enters Islam, what is he doing? He is accepting that Allah is real. And therefore he worships only Allah and nobody else. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a historical figure, right? There's a famous share of Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi. He said, you can deny God, but you cannot deny Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How will you deny the Rasul alayhi salam? Somebody might deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how will you deny somebody who was, we know he existed. I mean, he's again not a mythological figure, right? We know who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know his name of his father, his mother, his grandfather. We know everything about Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Islam is based on reality. Now take the same concept to funding and see, interest is not real. Interest is something which appears to be beneficial, but actually is not beneficial. Whereas venture capital, where you are a stakeholder or a shareholder, is real. So Islam is focusing you to that which is real and away from that which is not real. Because that which is not real is something which is, first of all, as I said, it is not beneficial. And secondly, it is something which is, in the theological context, it is also haram. Now, this is a big subject, inshallah, we'll talk more about it tomorrow and so on, so I don't want to talk about the whole thing today. Just think about this one thing and say that this is the reason why Islam strongly encourages business. One of the people shaded under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an honest businessman. Think about the laws in Islam, for example. We have laws for zakat, which is charity, right? Which is part of the, it is one of the arkan of Islam. It's one of the foundational pillar of Islam. What is zakat? Money. We have laws for inheritance. And specific laws. So much for the son, so much for the daughter, so much for the mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, the whole lineage. Specific laws for inheritance. Inheritance, who will have inheritance? Somebody who has wealth. Right? So if somebody is promoting to you that in Islam, you know, don't get wealthy, don't... If I'm not wealthy, who will inherit from me? Nobody. I have nothing. I'm a faqir. So Islam does not prohibit you from becoming wealthy. As a matter of fact, Islam encourages you to be wealthy, but be wealthy in the correct way. So we have laws of inheritance, specific laws of inheritance. We have laws which govern trusts. Awqaf. Right? Now all of this points to, and then we have the final thing, which is the issue of interest itself. Now why is there a, why is interest, which is really dealing about money, which is just think about interest, this is a question of dealing with money. It's not sin as in a sin of the body. We're not talking about intoxication. We're not talking about killing somebody. This is just question of how do you deal with money. That is so important in Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited it specifically in the Quran and revealed ayat, and that those ayat, not one ayat, several ayat, and those ayat are so strong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who deals in interest, let him accept a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has to do with money. So money is one of the most important things that Islam focuses on. Money is not bad. Money is not bad. Money is not something that Islam ignores. As a matter of fact, Islam focuses on money. I don't know about any other religion which focuses on money so specifically. Islam recognizes that money is important. Money is the lifeblood of the economy. Without money, you will have poverty. You will have complete chaos. You need money. But you need money in the right way, to be used in the right way, to be spent in the right way, to be collected in the right way. And that is why all of these laws are prescribed. This is what Islam brings to the table. And as I said, these laws came in the 7th century. 1400 years later, they are as valid, if not more valid, than they were at that time. More inshallah tomorrow and so on. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.